Okay, good vach, everyone. Always a special schuss to be together. We'll start by just thanking Eliza and the Shriers for opening up their bias always. It should be Bez Hashem. Big schuss of only simcha and bracha for the entire mishpacha.
Amen.
I was thinking about it. It's really so special that we have the schuss most often to learn together Hamatzei Shabbos Kodesh. We have to take a moment just to talk about that before we get into what I want to talk about tonight. Matzei Shabbos is a very incredible time. We have to recognize that. Matzei Shabbos is when we're leaving Shabbos and we're entering back into the Yimei Chol, the regular mundane days. But at that moment, there's tremendous opportunity. Lo aleinu, there's opportunity to fall, and that's why unfortunately, often, you know, kol haveiros tachas hashemesh, like the worst of things go down on what we might have used to have called Saturday night, you know, that we know is Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. Matzei Shabbos could be Bez Hashem a time where we elevate our whole lives from Shabbos. And we pull Shabbos Kodesh, the Kedusha of Shabbos, into the week. In the week, often, we're so full of responsibilities and full of just days that are full of mundane activities, some of those that we need to be part of, some that we're pulled into. And Matzei Shabbos is that time when we could try to at least start the week with the Kedusha of Shabbos. I always like to think of it. That's why, you know, it's incredible that by Havdalah tonight, Havdalah is when we were leaving Shabbos, and we make Havdalah to recognize that. Hamavdalah ben Kodesh Chol, to recognize we're no longer in Shabbos, we're entering into Yimei Chol. When we make Avdolah in a Kais Shol Yayin. So we make Kiddush going into Shabbos, and in a certain sense, we make Kiddush leaving Shabbos. That's what we're doing. It's a different type, it's another Kiddush. And what is the idea? If we're Mekadesh Shabbos on Friday night, we're trying to be Mekadesh the week on Matzei Shabbos. When we made Avdolah tonight, some of us minutes ago, we made Kiddush to try to say, I'm going to make my week Kaddush. I'm going to pull Shabbos into the week. I'm going to live with the Kedusha of Shabbos, the clarity of Shabbos. Shabbos, we disconnect from all that pulls us into that world, and sometimes, unfortunately, doesn't allow us to focus on what's important and what's real, and the Rabbeinu Shalom and family. And I'm going to try to pull that into the week. And therefore, we make Kiddush, Mamish, by Avdalah. We make Kiddush, right? When do we make a Boyer Pira Guffin and a cup of wine? Only by times of Simcha, by happy, joyous occasions. We make a Barah Piragafen as we go into Shabbos, or we go into Yantiv. We make a Barah Piragafen at a Bris Milah. We make a Barah Piragafen, and Bez Hashem is Baruch, have this chus tomorrow for a special Talmud to do a Pidgin Aben. So by the Pidgin Aben, you make a Barah Piragafen. You make a Barah Piragafen. By happy, joyous, simchadik occasions, we make a Barah Piragafen. By Chasana under the Chuppah, we make a Barah Piragafen. Yeah, when we leave Shabbos, we make a Barah Piragafen. Tonight, we made a Barah Piragafen. You think maybe we should burn a little paper, make some ashes, and be Be'avelis, or mourning that we're leaving the Kedusha of Shabbos. We make a Barah Piragafen on a Kais Shal Yayin Avdolah. And the answer is yes, it's the Kiddush of the week. We're pulling Shabbos into the week, and we're going to be Mekadosh the week. We're going to make the week holy. What a special potential, what a special experience. So we have to make sure that we pull Shabbos into the week. And we pull the chizik of Shabbos into the week. And maybe that's why it's so, you know, that's what I was alluding to, how special it is that we have this chus to learn together most often. Again, not every week it works out that way, but most often on Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. Right as we leave Shabbos, we're here together to be Mekadesh the Chol, to right away go into the week with Torah, with connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hopefully that will give us the chizik for the entire week. To remind us all week long, this is what we're really about. This is what we're really about. These are, you know, all week long, so we have jobs, and we have school, and we have other responsibilities. Here we have a few free moments after Shabbos. What do? We jump into learning, and to connecting to Hashem. And the idea should be for us that that's how my entire week should be. Okay, I can't, based on Achrayas, based on what I'm doing with myself, but if I could, I wish I could. And I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to pull that with me. I'm going to keep it with me, Bez Hashem is Baruch. And by the time we make Kiddush next Friday night, we'll look back and say, this was a different week. It was a different week. I stayed elevated this week. I stayed close to Hashem this week. In all that I did throughout my entire week. Bez Hashem, we should all be Zoicha. You know, for Klal Yisrael, this past week was a difficult week. Klal Yisrael, this past week was a week, again, of unfortunate churban. And very close to home, we all saw the images and we read about and heard about what happened in Jersey City, and where Yidden were murdered because they were Yidden. Right here. We're not talking about in Europe, and we're not talking about Chveis Nish by Gaza. Talking about right here. An hour away from us. Get in a car right now, you could be there in an hour, right? And it's scary. It's scary. It's a pachad. But it's again, it's revisiting Churban. It's revisiting destruction. It's a little bit revisiting Tisha B'Av. You know, Tisha B'Av is the day in the year that we set aside as a Jewish nation to commemorate tragedy. And we sit on the floor of Avelis, whenever tragedy occurs, it's a tam, it's a reach of Tisha B'Av. So we want to learn and we want to know how to ensure that this could never be with us. We want to ensure that this is the final churban, the final tragedy. We want to ensure that this was the final hizoris that we needed, the final wake-up call that we needed, that we could just talk about kedusha and talk about simcha and talk about bracha. So I want to learn together a very short medrash in Eicha. And I think this medrash, somehow, is the key to ensure that we have never have churban in our life, that we have never have difficulty in our life, that we've never have anything in our life that's bad. And a lot of us look, Baruch Hashem, we can't, sometimes tragedy like that just occurred, it puts things in perspective, and whatever we look at as raw in our life is doesn't compare, obviously, in contrast to that. But at the same time, in our own lives, we all have our trials, our tribulations, our difficulties, our challenges that we may look at and we may say is raw, is bad. And I want to make sure there's no raw in my life. I want to make sure at every moment I'm full of simcha. I want to make sure every moment I'm full of simcha. It's probably nothing more important in life. We speak about this very often here because it's something that I feel is most important. You know, this past week, I started on Thursday therapy finally for my vocal cords. Most of the chevra knows that I had about a month ago a procedure on my vocal cords, a laser procedure. So I finally started therapy. And the first therapy for it is like this long evaluation, it's an hour and a half long, to see where my voice is holding, what's going on, what needs to be worked on, how I could learn, first of all, to heal what I went through, and then to hopefully Bez Hashem plan for the future so something like this doesn't have to happen again. Mir Hashem. And the woman, the therapist, is going through making me like sing in all different types of ways and speak in all, literally. At one point, she makes me give over. She tells me that I have to give a lecture the way I give lectures. I mean, she happens to be a Jewish woman, so hopefully I taught her a little something. She says, just talk. You can speak Hebrew, whatever you'd like. Because it doesn't matter what I'm saying. She just wants to see how I'm speaking. But I gave her a little chizik. We'll see. Maybe it hit the heart, you know? You never know. So then she was going through some other things just to ensure, because, you know, talking about my diet, because obviously that's why we say we have to drink water, not Snapple. I don't mean my diet, I'll tell you, look, I mean, I should care about that too somewhat, but that it has, apparently caffeine is very, very bad for the vocal cords. That's what she says, at least, and I trust her. Anyways, Lameisa, so then she asked me, if at the time when I developed that polyp, or now as well, if I have any major stress in my life. Because stress, as we all know, stress, even though is mental, has an effect on our physical, has an effect on how we feel, has an effect, and it will have an effect on our vocal cords as well. And our vocal cords will stress up, will become very, very tight, and then if you're speaking often, so you could damage them much easier if you have stress in your life. So she asked me if I have stress, if I had stress then, if I had stress then. I looked at her, I said, thank God, I don't recall having stress then. I don't have stress now. One of the Baruch Hashem, you know, thank God I have tremendous simcha in life, tremendous happiness in life. I have so much to be thankful for. I have an incredible life. And she looked at me and she's like, I'll tell you something. I've had hundreds, thousands of people in your chair. She works with like big singers and actors and you name it. And she says, most people say, ask me how much time I have to answer that question. And will ask me for like a whole notebook and say, if you want, I'll fill out a whole notebook of all the stress I have in my life. To me, that was so sad. That's what she's hearing. Shem Yirachim. Not sure who she's meeting with, you know? But let's learn. Let's talk how we could ensure that that's who we are. That we Baruch Hashem have lives of simcha. And it's not that we don't have challenges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings our way, nisyonos, trials and tribulations, but that we could merit to be simcha, merit to have no churban. Halavai, we're waiting for the ultimate geula, but even until that time, to have no churban in life. So there's a medrash in Eicha Rabbah, in Yud Aleph. The medrash says, Ilu zechisem, if you would merit, hayisim koyim b'Torah, you would read in the Torah, Eicha esa levadi. Eicha esa levadi, words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, he's talking about how he no longer feels that he could be alone and taking care of Klal Yisrael, he needs help. Eicha, but the words the context doesn't really matter, the Medrash takes it out of context, and just looking at those words, Eicha, which is that word which starts the Megillah of Eicha that we read on Tisha B'Av, Eicha esa levadi, how could I bear this burden alone? How could I be alone? If we'd merit, we'd say those words. Very strange, what does that mean exactly? If we'd merit, we'd say, how could I bear to be alone? What exactly does that mean? We have to understand, right? And the Medrash continues, V'achshav shol zechisem, now that we haven't merited, and we're still in a state of galus and churban and destruction, hari atam korim, Eicha yashva badad. So instead of saying, Eicha esel vadi, how could I be alone? We say, Eicha, woe is to us, yashva bedad, that we're sitting in solitude. So we have to get back to this medrash, understand what this medrash means, because somehow maybe this medrash could be the key to gula, that the gula that we should be zoicha to is that we'd be able to say, Eicha esel vadi, and not say, Eicha yashva bedad. We'd be able to say, how could I be alone, instead of saying, how am I sitting alone? So let's come back, we'll get back to that. And the way I want to understand and explain is actually something we learned this past parsha. And I know we're past the parsha, but we just said how the avoda of tonight, of Matzah Shabbos, pulling Shabbos into the week. And therefore, all the chizik and sources this past Shabbos has to last all week long. And therefore, the parsha that we just learned has to be chizik for us all week long. This whole week, until we get to another Shabbos. Habali and Altoyev of Ezra Hashem. So we read about this past Shabbos, Kodesh. Incredible, very deep, Kabbalistic, seemingly, episode where Yaakov Avinu fights with a malach, fights with an angel. Yaakov Avinu fights with the Sar Shel Esav, the angel of Esav. We learned about this already when we were in kindergarten. We all drew pictures and brought them home. We all know about this. And we know how that angel somehow, he knocked Yaakov Avinu and he damaged him by the Gid HaNasha. And ultimately, Yaakov was victorious, right? We all know the storyline. We all know the storyline. We have to understand this. And I'll tell you even more so why we have to understand this, in light of understanding how to do away with any churban in life, any destruction, anything bad in life. Because I'll tell you a little secret that many don't know. This was the very first episode, the very first occurrence that we know of that happened on Tisha B'Av. This happened on Tisha B'Av. Now most people, if you ask them, what was the first thing that happened on Tisha B'Av? What would they say? What would you have said? The Meraglim. Thank you, beautiful Jennifer. Right? Because Jennifer is holding the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus goes through the five occurrences of Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed two times, but if you go through the Gemara in Tainus, the first occurrence of Tisha B'Av, the first is what? Is the Chet Meraglim. It doesn't have this one, this storyline of Yaakov and Sarshev didn't make the cut. Because that's only on an individual level and it's not for all of Klal Yisrael, maybe whatever it might be. But Chet Meraglim, we know, happened on Tisha B'Av, that we shouldn't cry. We cried Bechia, we're going to cry Bechia Shel Chinam. We cried b'chichas shchina, we'll have what to cry about. I'm sorry. We cried for naught, we'll have what to cry about. And that day was set aside as Tisha B'av. But prior to that, Yaakov fought with the Tzar Shel Esav. Now Rav Tzadok, who's a big Hasidish Rebbe, Rav Tzadok talks about how the first of anything is the foundation. If we understand the first, we understand a lot about a day or a time or a sefer. Therefore, the first occurrence of Tisha B'av that we know about is this fight between Yaakov and Tzar Shel Esav. That's going to be the key to Tisha B'av. In other words, that's going to be the key to understanding why all Churban occurs and how we could do away with that in our lives. Now, by the way, it's incredible, right? Because that episode, that storyline that we read today, it's true, Yaakov was damaged. But ultimately, he was victorious, and that's what we see throughout our history. There are times that Klal Yisrael, sadly, unfortunately, is damaged, but we always walk out on top. Always, we are still standing, and we are still here today. We've gone through Gehenna Malart, we've gone through the worst of tragedies. We went through a Holocaust where 6 million Jews were wiped out in the most awful of ways it's so hard to even talk about. But we're still here. And we're still building. We're still striving. And we're back in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. And we're trying and we're connecting to Hashem and we're learning Torah and davening. And ultimately, we will never be destroyed even if we're hit and hurt and damaged. And that's the storyline of the Yaakov and Tzar Shel Esav. But the question that we have to understand, how it was, and if we understand this, I think we have the key to doing away with all churban in our lives. It's a very big secret tonight. Very special. This chus, we're learning this tonight. The key is going to be to understand how Yaakovina was even damaged. See, Yaakovina is Sadik Yisod Olam. We're all Bnei Yisrael. From Yaakovina, Yaakovina is Bechir Avos. He's like the hierarchy. He's the top. Kodesh Kedoshim. Yaakovina, and Yaakovina somehow was he won in the end, but how was he even damaged? How was he even damaged? How was he even hurt? Because that's the hurt that we still feel at times. That's the hurt that we feel even individually when I'm going through something difficult in my life. So if we could understand how Yaakov was hurt, we can understand how we should never be in that situation. How is there a play game? How is there a damaging of that area? What happened? So I'm going to share with you something that I only feel comfortable saying because I've seen it in Svarim, and I saw it in the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who was a big Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, and I saw it in, for those of you who, rather in the more Litvish world, I saw it in the Svarno, from, you can look at him across Gedolos, you don't need to go in the Hasidic world, but either, you know, it depends, whichever way it does it for you, you know, whatever way it does it for you tonight. They both say the same exact thing. Because I can never say such a thing about a Yaakovina, but they say it, so we could say it, and we could learn it. This is a very famous pasuk, which is the key. The pasuk is so famous because it's a song. Halavai, if more pasukim would be songs, more mishnayos, we'd know a lot more Torah, right? So the pasuk says, "Vayivaser Yaakov lovado, vayavik ishimo." Right? You all know this pasuk. "Vayivaser Yaakov lovado, vayavik ishimo." Right? We've all danced that at some point in our life. Let's be real. So, what? I'm not allowed to do any of this. I've been told I'm supposed to be using like a microphone right now, but I can't do that in a situation. It's like, it is what it is.
Yeah, nothing bad happens when you learn.
We hope so. Anyways, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, Pashup Shav, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, Yaakov was alone. Vayavik Ishimo, and the man came and fought with him. And how do we, what does that mean to us? It means that Yaakov left his family, went back to get the Pachim Ketanim, he was all alone, and that's when he met up with Tzar Shel Esav and had this fight. Comes along the Svarno, comes along and tells Yaakov Yosef, and say, when the Torah says, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, Yaakov was alone, it doesn't just mean he was alone physically from any other people. For those few moments, whatever this means and why, I'm not sure, but for those few moments, Yaakovina was even alone from Hashem. For those few moments, he didn't feel the connection to Hashem. For those few moments, he wasn't mizdabik, he wasn't clinging to Hashem. Vayivaser Yaakov levado means he was mamish alone, even from the Ribbono Shalom. And when he was alone from the Ribbono Shalom, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, that's when he was open, and that's when he was prone to be able to be hit and be damaged by Avik Ishimo. The Malach Vesav was able to hit him and fight with him and damage him. In other words, what these tzaddikim are telling us, that the only time in our life we could ever have churban in our life, the only time we could ever have destruction in our life, is when we're disconnected from Hashem. When we're void, when we're not connected to that relationship with the Rabbon Hashem. But if we're relation, we have that relationship with the Rabbon Hashem. If every moment of our life we're mizdabik to Hashem, if every moment of our life I'm clinging to Hashem, I'm one with Hashem, I feel Hashem by my side, there is no churban. There is no destruction. Gam kielach begeitz al mavet lo ira ra. I'm going through mamish shadows of death. I'm going through the valley of death. I'm going through mamish like crazy things. Lo ira ra. No bad can happen to me. Even in those situations, there is no bad. Ki ata yimadi. Because you're with me. But if it's not with me, then vayavikishima. But if ki ata, if you're ata yimadi, it's all good. Ata yimadi, it's all good. The Rambam, I'll just read you the Rambam. The Rambam says this explicitly. The Rambam, if you know a little bit of the Rambam wasn't into like skulas and wasn't into like this, you know, deeper crazy stuff. And the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, in Nun Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, he says as follows, Ha'isha Sholem Bash Gaso, a person who's complete in his feeling of, he's talking about being close to Hashem if you read the rest. Asher lo yaster sichlo melokat tamid, that never allows his mind to leave that connection to Hashem. Tia hashkacha bo tamid. Hashem hashkacha will be that person always. Hashem will always be watching over you. Mezeh yearly, it seems to me, that's what I'm talking. Ki kolm bi shetimtso ra miroz ha'olam. Any person that finds something bad in their life, anything bad in the world, and he's talking about Nevi'im, Chasidim, even the most Kaddish of people, and of course us. Lo matu arahu rak beis hashichahi. The only time you can find bad in your life, the Rambam says, is when you forget about Hashem by your side. L'fi orach hashkacha, hashichahi, opchisos inyar, hashisagibo, ya oitzam arah. And dependent on how much you're forgetting about Hashem is going to be how bad it feels. However, vim hifzos machshavos adam, but if you're able to do away with those thoughts and you reach and you get close to Hashem and you feel Hashem in your life, and you have joy in that, but Meshezik, that you reach that relationship, that connection. Listen to what the Ram says. It's impossible for any bad to happen to that person. Because you're with God and God is with you. You think bad can happen to you when you're with God? You're with the Rabbon Shalom by your side. I got the Rabbon Shalom by your side. You think bad can happen to me? Really? You know, chashuv people, they have security staff. They have security staff, right? President Trump, he's not going to walk anywhere without security staff. I saw someone show me a little clip. He went, it was to a World Series game in October. And the staff of security to go to the World Series game, mamish, like cars and cars full of, just for him, one person, to protect him, right? To protect him. Imagine our protection, our shmira. If I have the Rabbon Shalom by my side, is there any better protection, any better security staff? But if one removes their mindset from their relationship with Hashem, then we're separate of Hashem, and kavayocho, on some level, Hashem is separated from us. Then we are prepared, we're prone for bad to happen. If we could feel in our lives the Eibishter by our side every moment, there's no bad that can happen. Now we could understand that in two ways. Some might be on a level in this room that are so chashuv and such big tzaddikes that it means like literally you know that like if your God is by your side, nothing bad can happen. The way I understand on my level, which is not on that level, and some of you are probably much bigger than I, is just that even if bad happens, that we might perceive as bad, and it might look bad, if you really are living every moment of the Rabbon Shalom, you're able to say, you know what, I don't see it now, I don't understand it now, but kol ma'adav rachman al tav of it. Everything Hashem does is for good. And in the bigger picture, and I don't know, I'm not privy to the before and the after, and there's so much more in this world that I don't know. There's so much more that I don't understand. I'm going to get stuck in the moment. I'm going to get stuck in the moment and really think about, just this moment's going to destroy me because I'm only seeing this moment. So I don't know what the future lays ahead. To understand why this is happening. If I could have that, but if I have deep emunah, really deep emunah, and emunah, it's so deep, it's not just emunah, everybody in this room believes in God. I know that. I don't even know all of you so well. You wouldn't be here if you don't. You believe in the Rabbon, especially on Matzah Shabbos, and like we spoke about, please, Zelu Mazeh, you'd be one of those that call on Saturday night. You call Matzah Shabbos, and we come to learn together, because you believe in Hashem. You believe in Hashem that created the world, and Hashem is watching over us. But to real, an emunah that I believe Hashem's by my side, like mamish by my side every moment, that level of emunah, then I'm able, whatever happens to me, I'm okay, because kol ma'ad v'rachman al-tav of it. Everything that happens is good. So there's no stress in my life. There's no such thing as stress. How could I have stress in my life? Hashem's by my side. I'm not happy about what's going on now. It doesn't mean I don't understand this. I want to try to solve it. But I'm still cool and good because I know God is by my side. It's all good. There's no such thing as churban. I'm good. No, the Rambam said, if the Rabbanu Shalom is by your side, no bad can happen. It can't. We just have to open up our eyes and remember Hashem is by our side and start to recognize Hashem by our side. You know, I've definitely said it over here before, but I love some stories you could repeat time and time and time. I could repeat it just to give myself chizik. So if I could repeat it to myself, I feel like the chevra could listen to it again also. There's a story, not just a small little story, something from my Rebbe, from Rav Nassim Zvi Finkel, Zecher Tzedek Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I still remember like certain stories that he used to tell over. And he would tell the same story over and over. And every time I hear that story, I mean, there was one story he used to talk about. He used to talk about Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, his Rebbe. Shiva the Mir, you've all heard of Chaim Shalevitz. I'm sure you learned Sichos Musar, some of his Torahs. And Chaim Shalevitz, he used to tell the story of Chaim Shalevitz was walking down Rechov Meisharim once, and he saw this store where they sell shoes for children. And the shoes is back, you know, in the early 1900s. And it was wooden shoes, and they used to paint the shoes. And the shoes were drying outside. And Chaim Shalevitz stopped and would stare at the shoes. Chaim Shalevitz, every moment was so precious. So one of the Tamidim was in the Rebbe, why are we looking at the shoes? Like, are we buying some for your grandchildren? What's going on? He says, no. I'm just thinking about the simcha of the mother when she's going to buy these shoes to put them on her daughter or on her son. The Oishar Achayim, the simcha of life, of having life, having family. And you tell over that story, it's a very simple story, but Pashat story. I remember every time he told a story, or she was, anytime he said anything from his Rebbe Chaim Shalevitz, tell her a story, his face, we could turn off all the lights in there and it would brighten up the room. And that's not an over-exaggeration. Tzaddikim, their faces could brighten up the room. I heard a close friend of mine, Joey Janikowski, some of the Chaver knows, Joey Janikowski told me that when he was young in yeshiva back in the day, so he was taken once on Shabbos late in the afternoon when it was already dark, Shal Shittis time, to go see the Stipler Goyen. The Stipler, Chaim Knievsky's father. And in those days, it wasn't so pashit, the Frum Yidden didn't use electricity, because the electricity was run by the non-Frum Jews, and they would work on Shabbos, it wasn't pashit. And so there was no electricity, that they used candlelight, and the candles would light Friday night, would be fine. They'd go very long. Shabbos day, had light anyways. But then the end of Shabbos, in all the homes until Shabbos ended for that last hour, hour and a half, it was dark. And he goes into the stipler. In the dark, it's like a pit. He's walking through the hole, dark as could be. Walks into the room. It's lit up from the face of the stipler. Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Trust me, it's Emes. Nazim Tzvi, when he would talk about the Rav Chaim Shalevitz, his face would shine. I remember just would start crying every time. Every single time, I have tears coming down my cheeks. Just hearing that story I just told you, every time I heard it, and I heard it many, many times, I'd cry. I still have it on video, I have to find it. I have once on video him telling that story. Still, if I watched it, I'd cry. So Nazim Tzvi, he told us how an almana, a widow, an almana came to him, she was married over 50 years, and she comes to him crying how lonely she is, how alone she felt in the world after losing her husband, we can't imagine. And he gives her words of chizik and zoris, and then he tells her, when you leave here, I want you to go to the store and buy a little notebook and buy a pen. And every time something in your life happens to you, you feel Hashem in your life, I want you to write it down. When you feel Hashem does something for you, a little an eis nister, an eis nigla, write it down. And when you start to feel a little bit lonely, a little bit alone, take out your notebook and read it back to yourself. And you'll see you're never alone, because Hashem is always by your side. This is what we have to feel. We have to take our notebooks throughout our days, throughout our lives, and start to feel Hashem by your side every single moment. And you'll see you do away. There is no bad in our life. It's a life only of simcha, only of bracha. Problem is, we have to open up our eyes. Our eyes are closed. Our eyes are closed. If we open up our eyes, we'll start to feel Hashem in our lives always. And then we're prepared in the times that could be taken as churban. We're okay. It's no longer ra. I recently reread a story. It was in the 1950s. There was a woman, Rachel, and she had a 6-year-old boy, Shlaimele. They lived in New York. This was after the Holocaust. This woman lost her entire family in the Holocaust. She came to America. She was rebuilding. She had a son. And unfortunately, a terrible accident occurred and her husband was killed. I can't even imagine, right, what this woman went through. She lost her whole family. Now she loses her husband. Her husband had a cousin in Pittsburgh, and she decided to get some, and he was a Rav, to be with family and to get a little chizik. She's going to travel from New York to Pittsburgh. It wasn't so easy in those days, but she did it with her son. And they get there, and it was very sweet and very special just to be with family and very warm. It felt very good. But then, after a few moments already, she opened up to this Rav, to her husband's cousin. And I'll read you from the story over here. There was so much to say, so much Rachel wanted to share. It was so difficult living alone, she told them. She suffered from the loneliness and was plagued by the constant worry of what the next day would bring. Perhaps most painful of all was having no one with whom to share the concerns. As they spoke, she began to unburden herself. She felt the weight of her fears, doubts, and worries begin to lift a little. She watched as her Shlaimele finished his cake and milk and ran into the next room to play. And then it all came out. She poured out her heart. No longer able to contain her emotions, she sobbed uncontrollably. How could she continue? How could she raise her little Yasum? How would they be able to go on? Finally, she burst out in desperation. Reb Yiddel, every time I close my eyes, all I see is my husband. Reb Yehuda watched as Rachel cried bitterly. She tried to regain her composure. As she did, he spoke very softly. Rachel, Rachel, I know exactly how you feel. Every time I close my eyes, I too can see only one thing. I see my wife and our two beautiful children who were killed in the Milchama, killed in the Holocaust. And that's why I never close my eyes. So I read this story. I read this story and I'm thinking to myself, lahavdil to us, in our life of what we call difficulty, we have to also never close our eyes. And what does that mean to us? That means we have to open up our eyes. We have to open up our eyes and start to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. And see the Ribbono Shel Olam and feel the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when we feel the Ribbono Shel Olam and keep our eyes open, there is no bad. When we know Hashem is by my side, everything is good. There is no longer any churban. We have to believe that, and we have to know that. How can we train ourselves a little more, besides for just opening up our eyes, how can we train ourselves in this a little more? So I want to tell us something else, learn a little bit more about this Malach that came to defeat Yaakov Avinu, or hurt Yaakov Avinu. So Chassam Sofer brings down the David HaMelech taught us we're supposed to be making 100 brachas a day. During the time of David HaMelech, there was a magefa, there was a plague, 100 people were dying a day. He said, we have to say 100 brachas a day to bring about Gula, to bring about redemption. Now, why 100 brachos? Why not 100 acts of chesed? Why not 100 minutes of Torah? Why not a... There are many areas we could work on. Why 100 brachos? So we see also in this fight between Yaakov and Sar Shal Esav. First of all, the Sar Shal Esav is also known as the Samach Mem. The Samach Mem is the Satan. Samach Mem is Gematria 100. Because he was connected these 100 brachos. And that's why he hit Yaakov Kaf Yerecho in his thigh in the Kaf Yerecho. What's Kaf Begematria? Chaf Pei? Also 100. Meaning Samach Mem was trying to take away the 100 brachos a day in a very deep way. And that's why by the end of the story, Yaakov gains him to give him Vayivarecho Sosham, to give him a bracha. He's victorious to get a bracha, meaning the brachos should be back. What is this all about? Well, why 100 brachos a day that we're supposed to be saying? And why is the Sar Shal Esav trying to damage the 100 brachos a day? What is this all about? You know what it is when we say a bracha, chevra? You know what it is every time we make a bracha? Every time we make a bracha, you know what we're doing? We're recognizing Hashem's place in my life. Every single time. Just say the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, which doesn't mean like people wrongly translate, blessed are thou God. God doesn't need our brachas. God is perfect in every way. God is Shalem. He doesn't need Aryeh Cohen's bracha. It's not doing anything for him. But you know what the Rosh Hashem does want and need? He wants me to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, that you are the source of all blessing, Hashem, as the Avudraham translates those words. Baruch Atah Hashem, Atah Hashem, you Hashem, Baruch, are the source of all bracha. Meaning what? Every time I make a bracha, you know what we're doing? We're recognizing Hashem's place in this world. I have this cup of water, and I first made a bracha of Shakol Nibiru. I'm recognizing, you know what this comes? Baruch Hashem, Eliza brought out some water that I could enjoy and be able to give shir and drink throughout. But ultimately, this came from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam for it. And whatever we have in our life, and imagine, so David Melch understood, what better tikkun in the world for Churban than 100 times in the day recognizing Hashem's place in my life? Feeling Hashem by my side. You want to feel Hashem by your side always. You want to be metakin all the Churban. We want to really feel this and live this of no longer Vayivasar Yaakov Levado. You know what we can do? Start making brachas slowly. Instead of, we all make brachas hopefully. We make a bracha. Instead of saying brachas like in 3 seconds, say it in 10 seconds, 12 seconds. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Nivro. And at least those first three words, even if you don't think about what all the words mean, which is even better, at least those first three words, think about what it means. You are the source of all blessing, Hashem. And think about, wow, Hashem is next to me. Hashem's with me. I'll be a mamish, a different person. Mamish, a different person. That's the key. We're coming upon Chanukah. Chanukah is l'haydos u'lahalal. Chanukah is l'haydos u'lahalal. To thank Hashem. What do we, when we thank Hashem, we recognize all He does for us. It's the same Yisod. That's why the Arizal says, by the way, all of Chanukah is mitakin the pagam of Yaakov that the Sar Shal Esav had on him. It's all to be mitakin that, which is very deep and very nister, but now we understand. If all of that was because Yaakov was alone, all of Chanukah is l'hodos l'alam, recognize all that Hashem does for us. And live with Hashem every moment. And there's no more churban when we live like that. Hamish, no more churban. Yaakov Vinu, by the way, incredible. What is Yaakov at the end of this, when he defeats the Malach Shesef, which we said was trying to take him away from his 100 brachos day, so he's not with Hashem, right? So he defeats the Malach, and then he gets a new name, Yisrael. So that's just incredible. Yaakov is Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov's name is Emes LeYaakov, right? Titan Emes LeYaakov, Chesed Avram. Emes is Gematria 441. Emes is 441. But if you add the 100 brachos that we should say a day to Emes, so 441 plus 100 is what? 541. So if you have the 100 brachos day with Emes LeYaakov, exactly 541, exactly Gematria, Yisrael. You become a Yisrael when you say the 100 brachas a day. And you recognize Hashem by your side, because then, I'm no longer levado. I'm no longer alone. Whatever reason Yaakov was alone for those few moments, he got damaged. You know how he's victorious? By saying those 100 brachas a day. Feeling Hashem in our life. Every single moment to feel Hashem by our side. Every single moment to feel Hashem in our life. That's our avodah. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a very special matana. If you take the gematria, Mamish, this is exact. This is a matana. If you take the gematria ma, mea, brachos, kol yom. Ma, what do you gain? Mea, brachos, by saying 100 brachos, kol yom, every day. Ma, mea, brachos, kol yom. Is gematria 825. Exactly gematria, tafkid chayim olam hazeh, the purpose of life in this world. Tafkid chayim olam hazeh, the purpose of life in this world, exactly gematria, ma mea brachos kol yom, what is it is to make 100 brachos day. Why? Because the whole tafkid is just to feel Hashem by my side. And when I feel Hashem by my side, there's no longer any churban, there's no longer any difficulties, no longer any ra's, the Heiliga Rambam teaches us. And let's end with one more story. This is also an older story, which maybe some of the Chevra knows already. But I was reminded of it this past Thursday night as I passed right by the Makom, the place of where this Maisa happened. I wanted to stop the car and make a bracha of the Nes, but I didn't. I was rushing to get back for a shiur. But I gave a shiur Thursday night in Muncie. It was to men, that's why none of you knew about this. And not that I would have, I don't know who would have traveled to Muncie from here, unless you live in Muncie. Okay, but this was to men. It said only for men. I'm not sure, I was just asked, I don't know who decided that, but anyways, Lamaisa, so my way back, I was going over the George Washington Bridge. I was reminded of this story from many years ago. But I was thinking that Mamish is everything we're speaking about. So many years ago, I'll find it exactly, I don't know, maybe it was 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't remember exactly. So it was a Thursday night in the summer in June, if I'm not mistaken. And I was on my way, I was going to be at a chasana in Teaneck, at Romer, for a very chashuv Talmud of mine, Mordechai Katz, and his kala Tamar Weinstein, where I was going to be the Masada Kedushin. It's very special, it's very, very big schos always. And a few days before, and you'll see why this is important, Mordechai came over and he gives me the ksuva and the tanaim and everything. He says, Rebbe, you're probably the most responsible one to make sure all this is there. You bring it with you. Okay. No, I had the ksuva and tanaim with me, but listen to what Saitika. We get in the car. Let's say it's a 6:30 chastana. Listen, it's a Thursday night, there's traffic. So I leave way in advance. You know, people get, when you're Masada Kedushin, people get very nervous that you should be there, so I try to always be there on time, even though, you know, the first half hour nothing goes down at the wedding, but still, you want to be there just so everyone's calm and happy. So I remember it was like a 6:30 wedding, we leave, maybe, I had a Talmud of mine, Tuviar in Barth, Aaron Barth, and we left maybe 4:30, 4:45, way, like plenty of time, this is before Waze or anything also, but, okay. So we're driving, and the first half of the drive, everything's going very smoothly. We're moving, we're going. First half, like, let's say, Chesed would be normally an hour drive, so the first 20, 25 minutes, we're just moving. I think we'll be there very early, too early maybe. And then we hit the Cross Bronx Expressway. And Mamish, I get onto the Cross Bronx. When I tell you, they say it was a parking lot, I've never in my life before or after been on such a parking lot. The cars, it wasn't that we've all been in traffic down, but traffic usually means going very slowly. The cars were all in park. Like not moving, zero movement. So I turn on the radio to hear what's going on. You wanna find out what's happening. And we turn on the news to hear the traffic. And they say that there was a tractor trailer on the bottom of the George Washington Bridge that went on fire. The whole George Washington Bridge is closed down. Top and bottom. So this is where we're going towards, right? That's the way to get to Teaneck. We've all done it many times. Or to Muncie. And to Muncie, you could go and take the other bridge at the end. What's it? Tap and Z. But okay, but I'm going to the George Washington Bridge. I'm on the Cross Bronx. Now that means like all the highways towards it. You can't even imagine what type of traffic that means on a Thursday night when the George Washington Bridge is closed down both directions. The whole George Washington Bridge closed down. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's not just, okay, you miss a chasna, I'm supposed to be Masada Kedushin, I have the ksuv, I have the time, I have everything. Okay. So then I decide, okay, you know what I'm going to do? We got to get off the highway and take the side streets at least we'll go into the Bronx, take the side streets. At least we'll get close to the George Washington Bridge, so that when it does open, it's going to open up at some point. We'll be right there, as opposed to just sitting on this line, which will... Okay, so somehow I get to get off. Remember, all these cars were in park, so just to maneuver off was an avoid itself. Remember, we had to like push over a few cars with our car. It was, people were looking at it. It was what it was. We got it done. And I get off. Now I'm on the bottom, and I have no idea what to do. Because the streets, it's not like there's a street all along it. So I call my father, happens to be a human GPS. He's like, mamish, like... I get him on the phone, and my father's directing me through the streets of the Bronx of how to go. He's mamish, street by street, right, left, there's a place. And now, but this takes a long time, and it's getting closer and closer. You know, we made our way. Not sure if we cared much about red lights or not that day, but sometimes you have to do what you do. We're making it, and we finally get close to the George Washington Bridge. And we hear on the radio that they open up the top level, the upper level. Now still, even though they open up the upper level, you have thousands of cars that have been waiting for the last half hour, whatever it is. So you have everybody converging on that upper level. We're also converging towards that upper level. It's going very, very slowly, but moving. Now, it's already probably, at this point, it was probably around 6:30 now. It's 6:30 chasen, it's already about 6:30. But okay, I was on the phone with the chasen. Listen, happens to be two Five Towns families getting married. Tinek should be usher to begin with. So I'm not sure why that's mutter. To begin with, it's a shaila. It's not so posh. Like we don't have the sands in our backyard, or like you pass about a million different holes on the way, marina, terrace, you name it. We're going on. Okay, whatever. That's a kashin of ma'isa. We're not gonna. Is what it is. But all the people, huh?
It's an integral part of the story.
Yeah, but all the people. Listen, all the people were coming on that road. So I understand. It was what it was. And fine. So I'm going. We're going slowly, and finally we're getting towards the bridge. And again, it's like 6:45 already. At this point, I'm on the phone with my Rebbe, Rabbi Neuberger, discussing with him because I'm with the ksuva how day it was written on, and maybe if it's going to be after Shkia, what to do just in case we're running very late. Okay. And I finally get, and I'm committed to go on the upper level. That's the only thing open. As I'm committed to the upper level, what I mean by committed, there's a bunch of lanes. There are lanes toward the upper, lanes toward the lower. And in between the lanes to the upper and lower is this massive cement barrier. I'd say about a foot and a half high and about 4 feet wide. We'll get to that in a moment. So I'm going towards the upper level. And suddenly, and it's going very slowly. I still am probably going to be another hour till Teaneck because of how much traffic there is. It just opens up. And suddenly I see they open up the lower level. Now the lower level at the beginning, I'm right there. It's flying because there's no one that's used in 45 minutes. If I could somehow get to that lower level, I'll be at this wedding in 8 minutes. Mamish. Otherwise, it's going to be another hour. It's already 6:45. I got to get there. So I tell Tavyar, and I brace yourself. We're going for it. Now I'm in my wife's van. I don't know what type of pickup that has or whatever it is, but I'm trying. And I slam on the ignition to try to climb up and jump over this barrier. So we go, I slam on it, we go, and the car lifts up, and mamish slams down on top of the barrier. So now, we didn't make it over, but the car now, literally, I have a witness, you could ask if anyone wants to call Tovi Aaron Barth, I'll give you his number to ask him, every mamish Eben Shemito, the car is dangling. Mamish dangling, the whole middle of the car is stuck on this barrier. The wheels are off the floor. I'm just sitting on top of this barrier, dangling on top of the barrier. So for my first reaction, I tell Tavyar, get out and try to push. But this cheshbon, this for a second. You can't push a car if the wheels are not on the floor. It's like pushing a house. There's nothing to push. She comes back, Rebbe, when there's no pushing. So I get out, we both get out of the car. We're in our suits. We're in the middle of the highway over here. Cars are going by. I see all these people are laughing at us, looking at the car stuck. I have no idea what to do. So then I see, like, over to the side, there's like hard plastic. I can't even explain now what it is, but I say, well, let's pull some of it over. We'll try to build some traction with the tire. That wasn't working. There was nothing. It wasn't going anywhere. So then I managed to just look up. I said, Hashem, you want me? I'm supposed to be the chassan kala waiting for me. What am I supposed to do? I'm out of the car, maybe 3 minutes when I look up the Shemayim. I turn back and I see in the lane where I was coming from, going to a dubber, I see a yid. It's a long beard. He's in like a colored shirt, button-down shirt. He's driving a black Range Rover. And he's about 20, 30 feet away, coming towards me. And somehow, there were no words that were exchanged. But somehow, through our motions, I understood that he was telling me, believe it or not, he's telling me he's going to take his car and ram it into my car to knock it off the barrier. Now, how I understood, I still to this day don't remember how I understood that, but I understood. I tell Toviara and I tell him, let's get in the car. He's going to knock it off. He said, Rebbe, you're crazy. He's not knocking it off. I'm like, just get in. We get in the car, and we brace ourselves, and suddenly Himamish just rams into us from behind. We go flying off this barrier, boom, onto the highway. Thank God, I don't even know how no car should be there, whatever it was. Then I'm thinking, is my car even going to work anymore? Because like the whole middle slammed down. I thought maybe it's destroyed. Somehow, Nisim, I go on the ignition. We start going. I look back to try to give this yid a car satov, say thank you. He's long. I see the car up in the front. He's long gone already. 8 minutes later, I'm at the chasana. Everything was smooth and perfect and beautiful. And this couple's a beautiful couple with a life of simcha and bracha. So I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure. To me, 100%, this was Elio Anavi. And I'll tell you even more so. That parasha was Pinchas. And Chazal say Pinchas hu Elio. So it was Elio Anavi getting ready for the Shabbos. You know, he was Elio Anavi. I believe 100% it was Elio Anavi. Because all what... What?
I'm kidding.
In a Range Rover? You should know. Wait. So you know what, Chavri? You should know. That night, it was a Thursday night. So I got back. Every Thursday night, I give a shir for young men in my house. And we never miss. Unless I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and then I give it in Eretz Yisrael. The first time I missed was because of my laser procedure in 14 years, I think. But so I got back that night when it's a chasm like that, and I was in Zaragoza, I had to stay late. We had shir about 1 o'clock in the morning. There were probably only 5-6 guys, but we had shir. And I told over the story that night. So one of the guys said, Revi, it's very nice, Elio Anavi, you believe Elio Anavi is supposed to be on a chamor, he's supposed to be on a donkey. What kind of Elio Anavi is on a Range Rover? So for my first reaction was that, let's be real, you know, that was back in the day. Yesterday's donkey is today's Range Rover. You don't think Elio Anavi is going to have a Range Rover? Makes sense. But then, right, Mamish, this came to me. You know, the chashivas of Range Rover is the range, because you could have a Land Rover also. So if you take the gematria of Range Rover, just range, range would be Reish Nun Gimel with a little J. So, right, that's what it, no? So the gematria with the koila would be 254, exactly gematria chamor. Exact. So this, to me, this was Elio Anavi. Now, if you want to say, Rabbi, I don't believe it, it was just a yid, if you want to say that, to be honest, then I think it's a more chashuv story. Because to think that there was a yid, Mikam Chayzrul Gayech Baritz, he had no idea that I'm going to be Masadik Dush and have to get this chasna. He just sees me in need, and he's willing to take his car and jam it into my car. His stomach, he damaged the front of his car. I can't imagine, not somehow, I don't know how much so, I didn't see it. You don't just, you know, ram into a car and not damage. And he was willing to do that to help me. To me, that's a more chashuv story. Elio Anavi is much less chashuv than if there's a yid who did that. Mikam Chayzrul, how special we are for each other. Emma says, I believe with Elio Anavi. But why am I telling you this tonight? Because the Emma says stories like this happen to all of us all the time. We just have to open up our eyes. And when we believe the Rabbon Hashem's by our side every moment, the Rabbon Hashem's by our side every moment. And he's taking care of us. And when a situation comes our way that seems like it's bad, and seems like it's not so great, and whatever it is, within moments, Kadosh Baruch Hu bring Yeshua and bring Geula, and it's all good. And it's Karafayin, now it's just a story, and nothing bad happened. And the Emma says that's going to be all of our lives. Sometimes it takes a little longer, a few more minutes, or a few more years. Sometimes we don't see it instantaneously. But if we believe Hashem is by my side, if we know Hashem is by our side, then there could be no ra, there could be no bad. And each and every one of us needs to be that type of person. Remember, it's when Vayivaser Yaakov Vado, it's only when Yaakov was alone, Vayavek Ishimo. And that's what happened. That's what happened on Tisha B'Av, to teach us that's when Tisha B'Av. And that's ultimately Chevra the Medrash. getting back, just to finish. Ilu zechisam yisu karm tov. We would zvizoicha, you know what we say? We'd say, Echa, we didn't understand these words at first. Echa zelvadi. If we'd really married and have gula, we'd say, how could I be alone? Meaning, how could I be alone? I'm never alone. They're bonus on my side. We'd say, I'm never alone. If we're not zoicha, Echa, alas, Yashu Badad, I feel like I am alone. I'm sitting alone. If we're zoicha, I'd say, how could I ever be alone? Meaning what? Because I'm never alone. The Rabbonu Shalom is by my side every single moment. And we shouldn't have to say, Eicha Yash Bedad, why are we sitting alone? Because I'm not alone. And if each and every one of us always believes Hashem is by my side, and knows Hashem is by my side, and the way that we can work on that practically, to start making our brachas slowly. And when we make our brachas, think Hashem, thank you. You're by my side, you're the source of blessing in this. The Mezoicha, that feel Hashem by my side. Mezoicha, that whatever Hashem brings our way, say, I know it's for my best, I know it's going to be good, I know it is good. Bizoicha then for us and for Klal Yisrael, only simcha, only bracha, to bizoicha to a time when our eyes are wide open, see Hashem begiloy in a revealed fashion with the gula shleima, b'karav mamish, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Amen. Have a beautiful halakha week. We'll continue next week. Amen. Amen. Amen.